Dexter. My goodness, it's wonderful to be back home. 65 years ago in May 17, 1953, I walked the aisle at First Baptist Church, Cahoma, Texas, and you were there, and several of you were there, and I told Brother Reeves I didn't even know the language to put it in, because I wasn't religious. I played football, I drove a tractor on the farm, and I was not religious. But, would you believe, somehow I got the message through to Brother Mark Reeves that God had called me to preach. Well, man, he got excited. I was excited too. He got excited, stood me up in front of the church. Man alive, I was scared to death. And would you believe people started, it nearly broke the place up. People started coming around telling me what to do, giving me advice, so forth and so on. And I was standing there like a dummy, thinking, what on earth have I done? And anyway, that, I never even led in prayer publicly. I didn't do anything in church except come and sit and listen. And I didn't do that unless Mother made me. And she would. And I would go if my girlfriend Betty was going to be there. And so, anyway, long story short, I'd never been to training union, church training. Now, every Baptist ought to be in training union, church training, discipleship training. They keep changing the names to try to sneak up on these backslid Baptists and get them to come to do what they ought to do anyway. But that night, I came to church training. And you know what the first thing that happened was? They called on me to lead in prayer. I'd never done it, but I did. The next morning, I walked out. It was May the 18th, 1953. I walked out the front door to go up to high school. I was a senior in high school. No, I was a junior in high school then. And on my front doorstep stood a preacher named Roy Fish. He was pastoring Salem Baptist Church at the time and a seminary student. He became the greatest evangelism professor we've ever had in Southern Baptist life. And Roy said, Darrell, I understand you surrendered to preach yesterday. Yes, sir, Brother Fish, I did. He said, well, I'm going to be gone from my church a week from Sunday. Would you come preach for me? He'd taken my hand. I said, yes, sir, Brother Fish, I will. I'd settled that. And would you believe I've been preaching about every Sunday since. And I want to thank my son, Robin. He preaches all the time. He and I work together. We have a work called Total Church Life Ministries. And it is a national and international ministry. We go to Brazil, to Italy, to Romania, Albania, Indonesia, India. In fact, I brought a couple of my books this morning. This book is in 8 languages today. They just put it in the Indian language recently and are using it in India. Anyway, would you believe tonight we'll be at Midway Baptist Church? Don't miss that. It's going to be great. Now, I'm going to train people in soul winning in one of those, what do they call them?
Workshop.
Anyway, it doesn't matter what they call it. I'm going to teach them how to win souls to Christ. Amen. And every Baptist ought to do that. Amen. Anyway, would you believe First Baptist Church, Cahoma, has the best-looking pastor in the association. This tall, good-looking, deep-voiced young man. How smart you all are to get a pastor who looks like that and who speaks like that, and God's hand of anointing is on him. And that's the main thing. Praise God for that. And you got him out of Carolinas. Now, just to give a little history, in 1989 through year 2000, I was with the Home Mission Board of Southern Baptist Convention, and I was head of evangelism for Southern Baptist. And would you believe, I went all over the USA, and the place I spent the most time in the States were the Carolinas. They believe the Bible over there, and they believe in evangelism. And man, we beat the drum for Jesus over there with those guys. Thank the Lord. Another incidental thing is we're going to meet with Midway Baptist Church. What time is it again, Pastor?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. And we're going to have the associational meeting, and you're going to make decisions on missions. How many of you believe in missions?
Amen.
Did you know that Midway Baptist Church was started as a mission by First Baptist Church, Cahoma? Did y'all know that? Had you forgotten it? Yeah. Brother Mark Reeves was still pastor here. One time when I was a kid preacher, he and I were driving to Big Spring together to a pastor's meeting. I was just a kid, and he was teaching me how to be a pastor. And we drove along at that curve before you get to the refinery, and Brother Mark said, "Darrell, we need to start a church right there at that curve." I said, "Brother Mark, I believe you're right. I'll pray with you that that'll happen." Well, interestingly, my first wife, Betty, died. I'd been out of Baylor for a little while, and she was terribly sick. Been out of Baylor for a little while, and I wanted to pastor a full-time church, Pastor. I'd been pastoring these little old student pastorates and country churches and so on. And I thought, surely with a Baylor degree, I ought to be able to get a church. But no church wanted a preacher with a dying wife, because I felt honor bound to tell them her illness. And so I went out to Bethel Baptist Church north of Big Spring. It's not even there anymore, I don't think. And they had 13 in attendance that stormy, sandstormy March day. 13 people showed up. I said, "Betty, I wouldn't pastor there for anything. Coldest, deadest place I ever saw." But I did. They were the only ones who'd have me. And so I got a job teaching school and coaching and pastoring that church. And we reached more people. See, Pastor, God put on my heart back when Brother Mark Reeves taught me, and I went myself to every home in Cahoma, Texas, to tell them about Jesus. I went to the Mexicans. I went to the farmers. I went to the homeless in Cahoma back in those days. And we led many to the Lord. Well, when Betty died, I laid out for a year to teach and pastor that church. And then I went to seminary. And there I met the most lovely, dark-haired young lady named Kathy, who sat behind me in Old Testament class. She's from Mississippi. And, oh my, We married the next year, and would you believe, Pastor, the month we married, a little group of people had it on their heart to start a church at Midway Baptist Church. And they heard that I was in seminary and I was preaching, and they asked me to help them start the church at Midway. And we did. And I'm going to talk to you about, Robin, would you come up? Would you read Luke 19:10? And this is my text for today, if I can quit talking long enough to get to it. Luke 19:10. And that little group of people were ready to sacrifice and start that church. And there's a young lady here today, Joe Evans. Stand up, Joe. Where are you? She was a part of that group. But her husband was lost. Name was Don. And read it, Robin.
For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
And I'm speaking to you today on the tragedy of lostness. And all I've told you fits into that. Well, we started Midway Baptist Church with a handful of people. And they moved in an old shack out there behind the church. And when the wind blew, the windows rattled and the sand came in. And I brought that little Piney Woods, Mississippi gal out to that deplorable place. And she lived in that place. We didn't even have electricity nor running water at the time. Now, you people can't imagine that. But we lived there for 6 months like that. And finally, they got water. And finally, they got electricity. But God blessed the church. And you know what we did? We started down those roads, and we visited every house. Now, Don Evans wasn't saved. How did he get saved? We went to Don and Joe's house, and I led her husband to the Lord there in the living room on the floor. And I taught the people how to win souls. And they started winning souls. Now, not everybody's for a new church. There's a preacher who pastored somewhere around, and he was mad at me for starting a new church when we didn't need a new church. So you know what he told? He told, spread through the community, that that preacher at Midway, he and that gal he married had to get married. And then he began to spread that, all kinds of rumors to try to kill Midway Baptist Church. But you know what happened? We went to every home, every heart, every place, every person. Not just me. But Joe, you helped do that. You helped do that. And within a year and a half's time, we were having 150 people in that new church with deplorable facilities. Isn't that something? Rick, you know about all that. And thank the Lord, it's there, and tonight we're going to meet there for the meeting.
And it's at 6:30. I'm mistaken.
At 6:30. Okay. And we're going to meet there for the meeting, and it's one of the most mission-minded churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. And let me say that First Baptist Church Coahoma has been mission-minded all through your history, thank God. And the mission starts where? Next door. I told you I was going to speak on the tragedy of lostness. You know what? It'd be a tragic thing to live in Cahoma, Texas, and be lost. Who would tell them about Jesus? Who'd give them the gospel? Who would pray for them and continue on until they accept Christ? Who would do that? Most churches are not doing it anymore. You know why? Church is for us old gray-headed people. We come and it's here for us. And it's going to go our way. But what did Jesus say? He said, the Son of Man's come to seek and save that which is lost. And he came into the little town of Jericho and he made a hard right turn to go up 17 miles to Jerusalem. But a great crowd had gathered on the street. And that crowd was looking for Jesus. They just wanted to look at him and see who he is. They'd heard a lot about him. One little guy got there late. He couldn't see over the crowd. Too short. He didn't dare push his way through. See, this guy was rich. And he'd made his money through working with the Romans to tax the Jews. And he got rich collecting more money that they were supposed to give. He didn't dare push his... He might get a knife in his rib. But he ran on down the street and climbed up in a tree. King James says sycamore tree. And climbed up in a tree. And Jesus passed under the tree. And he looks up and sees him. And he says, everybody say it. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you today. Wow. You never seek Jesus without finding him. Amen. He always responds to a seeking heart. And Zacchaeus came down. They went to the home of Zacchaeus. And would you believe? Zacchaeus made food. And then he comes to Jesus. And he says, Lord, can you imagine that? This wicked, evil tax collector who wasn't even loyal to his own people. He calls Jesus. What did he call Jesus? Lord. What does Lord mean? Anybody know? It means master. It means boss. You're the boss. So I'm going to do whatever you tell me. And he said, Lord, I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor. This is a rich man. How many of us would give half of what we've got today to the poor? You would. Bless your sweet heart. Don't ever change. And he said, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to restore to them four times as much as I cheated. Wow. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. You're a saved man. Why? Because of what he's going to give? Can you give enough to get saved?
No, sir.
No. No, that won't change a thing. He said, Zacchaeus, salvation has come to you and your household. Indeed, you are the seed of Abraham. You're an Abraham descendant because you've manifested the faith of your father Abraham through what you've decided to do. Wow. This is the Abraham kind of faith, you see. How many of you have that Abraham kind of faith? That God says for you to do it, and you just do it. You don't ask why. You don't ask where. You just do it because God said, do it. And that's what Zacchaeus said he's going to do. But there was a problem. You know what the problem was? There were church people around. And they weren't acting like that. I mean, they came all the way from Jerusalem because they heard Jesus was coming through Jericho. And they hated Jesus because he didn't fit their mold. And they hated him, and they wanted to find something against him so they could crucify him. And eventually did. And they were saying, look, look! Now who said it? The church crowd. Look, he's going to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Wow. The tragedy of lostness. There are lost people out there in Cajoma, Texas. And they're staying lost. You know why? Because you people in here won't touch them. Church is here for you, not them. And Jesus, in response to their saying, look, he's going to be the guest of a man who's a sinner, Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save those who are lost. First Baptist Church is not here for you. First Baptist Church is here on mission for Jesus. Jesus said, I've come to seek. You see, even Jesus couldn't save them without going and finding them. And you and I, in our churches, we've got to go find them. And then give them the gospel and see them come to Jesus. Brother Reed, Mark Reeves, taught me this, First Baptist Church, Cajoma. And I've never grown out of it. I don't want to. That's what Jesus put us here for as a church. Not to come and be comfortable in here. Yes, we're to study the Word. Yes, we are. But what does the Word say? Go. Make disciples of all people. Where'd you find Jesus? He's in the home of Zacchaeus. And I hear these pastors today tell me, Pastor, well, you can't go to their homes anymore. They don't want you. We don't go because they want us.
That's right.
We go because Jesus said go.
Amen.
I've been there, not many times, but I can remember them, where they slammed the door in my face. But you know what I've done? I've waited a little while and gone back. Yeah. Pastor, when I was the kid, senior in high school, I went and knocked on the door of the Church of Christ preacher. And oh man, he was mad and hops. He would have choked me, I guess. But my dad is smarter than me, and so somebody told him what I was doing. And I was by myself. And my dad knocked on the door. And he said, come on, go with me. He rescued me, Pastor.
Good thing.
You see what I'm getting at, dear people? I wrote this book, and my experience in Cajoma and Midway is the reason I wrote the book. Chapter 10 in the book, I show how We locate the church facility on a map of the community. And then we draw a line around the area. And this area, your area, would be all the farms all around and the businesses all around and the homes all around. Some of them in town, some of them out of town nearby. Draw that circle and then locate every home in that circle. Find out who lives there. You don't reach people you don't know. Get to know them. Invite them. Minister to them. Do the things that will help them realize First Baptist Church Cahoma cares. And Jesus cares. And eventually, God will open the door of their heart. And eventually, you can lead them to Christ like Don came to Christ, Joe. You can lead every one of them to Jesus eventually. And what do you do in the church? You set up some things, events, to invite them to. Why do we do these events? Why do we do these dinners? Why do we do these things? Not for us in here. But so we'll have an opportunity to invite those out there. And they won't come always. In fact, they may not come for a year. You may do numbers of things and go invite them. And they won't come. But you keep on. And the Holy Spirit will use it. And eventually they'll come. Eventually. And so, what am I talking about? The tragedy of being lost in Cahoma, Texas, where we do everything for the little group in here, but we forget, and we don't even acknowledge those lost ones out there who are going to hell. I mean, they're lost. Does that bother you?
Yes, sir.
Is the pastor on one it bothers? Anybody else it bothers?
Amen.
Then go to it. Go tell them. Everywhere you find Jesus, you find him going to their homes. Going to their homes. He had 12 men who followed him. What did he do with them? He told those 12, in Matthew, he told those 12, I want you to go home to home, to every home in Jerusalem and the area. And the 12 grew to 70. And he got the 70 together. And what did he tell them? I want you to get 2x2. And I want you to go to every home, every place, every home, every home. And go in. If they'll feed you, eat their food. If they won't, shake the dust off your feet and go to the next one. Amen?
Amen.
The tragedy of lostness. So I've been talking to you just off the cuff, sort of. But you're my home church. I want to see First Baptist Cahoma fill this building with people you've led to the Lord. And I want to see this church expand so that you can't even put them all in here. And you may even start another church, Second Baptist Church, Cahoma, Texas, or Third Baptist Church, or whatever it may be. That's what church is all about. It's the body of Christ on mission for Jesus to seek and save every lost person. Where are the lost? Man, they're everywhere. My wife Kathy and I were in Romania. It was just Do y'all know the history of Romania? It was one of the greatest countries in Eastern Europe. It was called the breadbasket of Europe. But a dictator named Ceausescu, a communist, got in control, and he destroyed Romania. He built high-rise apartments, destroyed the homes of the people, and herded those people into apartment living so he could control them. Well, they hated him. And finally, an insurrection broke out, and they murdered him. Well, Kathy and I went over there just after that time. And we were in Oradea, Romania. I was teaching evangelism and biblical history at the seminary in Oradea, Romania. Dr. Joseph Sonn, T-S-O-N-N, was the president of it. And he had pastored Emmanuel Baptist Church. And it was a huge church building right in the middle of all those apartments. Now, what Ceausescu tried to do was snuff out the churches. But here was Emmanuel right in the middle of all those apartments. And man, people being reached everywhere. When I was there, they had 1,500 people, Pastor, inside the building. And then they had people in the foyer looking in. And then they had people up and down the streets. They said, "What are you doing out here? It's all going on in there. You can't even hear what's being said." They said, "Yeah, but we can take a stand for Jesus." And so they'd stay out in that street all during the worship services, taking their stand for Jesus. Isn't that something? Well, a church on down the way where Ceausescu was assassinated heard I was up there, and they asked me to come down and preach for them on a Thursday night. And we went down there. Somebody drove us down there. And I stood up in the pulpit. The service was 3 hours long. You couldn't even get a place to stand. People came in, and they crowded in. The whole platform was full of people, and 32 of them gave their testimony that night. That's the reason the service was 3 hours long. And they required that for them to be baptized. And anyway, a huge storm broke out. And I got up to preach, and I said to those people, "Here's what it's like to be lost. Lost people are under sin." What does that mean? That means that, let me show you. Let's let this paper represent sin. And my pen represent us, humanity. And all humanity is under sin, God says. And we need God, but God is not here. God is where? Above sin. And that's where humanity is with in relationship to God. God is here, and we're all here without Christ. And we need God. We try to reach God, and it's impossible. And I was teaching this to those people in Oradea, Romania. And a storm broke out. It was a huge storm. And down here under sin, we're spiritually blind and cannot see. Like blind people, feeling for a wall, stumbling through life. It's amazing to me that lost people can live as good as they do, seeing they're like they are and where they are. They're under sin. And we try to reach God, but it's impossible. And here we are, spiritually blind. And about that time, as I was talking about being spiritually blind and stumbling through life, suddenly the lights went out. Isn't that something? And I began to describe what it's like. And I said, we're in the dark and we panic. And I fall off the platform. And you panic and you trample one another and people are killed because we're separated from God in spiritual darkness. We can't see. But I said, Jesus comes, and suddenly the light comes on. And would you believe, when I hit that pulpit and said the light comes on, it came on. God, a bunch of people got saved that night. God was doing something. Wasn't me. God did it. And lost people out here in this community are in spiritual darkness. But thank God, God loves us. And God took the initiative to come to us in and through the person of Jesus. He came to us. Now, what do you see here? A cross. They hated him. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And they hated him. And they put him on a cross. But thank God, he came to me and to you. And he wants us to take this message of salvation to every person. It don't matter what church leads them to the Lord. I mean, Midway's over here, Salem's out here. You're not going to quarrel about it if they lead somebody to the Lord that you've witnessed to. You'll just praise the Lord, right? And you can lead somebody to the Lord that these other churches are praying for. And we become one mission involved in seeking the lost and seeing them saved. I've come, Jesus said, to seek and save that which is lost. Is anybody here who's not saved today? How many of you are saved people? Some hands are slow going up. Thank you so much for your testimony. That's a good testimony. Always be ready to testify for Jesus. Amen? Some of you were slow lifting your hand. Some of you were hesitant because you don't know. If you don't know for sure that you're saved this morning, you can be right now. If you will repent of your sin, what does that mean? That means be sorry for your sin. That means you've been walking with the devil, doing the devil's stuff. You've been walking away from God. Repent means you turn around and now come to God and believe on him. Put your faith and trust in him. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now. Just bow your head with me. And if you don't know for sure that you're saved, that Christ is in your heart, pray this prayer with me. You say, I don't want to pray your prayer. It's not my prayer. If you want him to save you, just tell him between you and him, Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. I'm sorry that I've sinned. I am a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Just repeat these things after me to him. Please forgive my sins. I'm inviting you to come into my heart, like Zacchaeus did, and be my Lord. Be my boss, and I'll follow you no matter where, no matter what. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for coming into my heart. Now, while nobody's looking, did you pray that prayer with me and mean it? If you did, just lift your hand where you are. Yes, I prayed that prayer with you, Daryl. I prayed it to Jesus, and I mean it. I mean it. Just lift your hand if that's true about you. And we're going to stand in just a moment. The pastor's coming, and I'm going to ask you to come and testify to the Lord by taking the pastor's hand. Say, Pastor, I'm giving my heart to Jesus, and I'm ready to follow him. Thank you, Father. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. May we stand together. Pastor, you conduct the invitation. They know you.